sort of unexpected for me to speak. Basically, what it is you need to do with FUSS. Initially, FUSS was a very technical type of software to be involved with. Right? The average user, the end user, as the majority of people, they shied away from it because it was difficult to use. You need to have a lot of hands-on experience and a technical know-how to be able to use FUSS. But that is rapidly diminishing. Like these days, especially live series that you're going to be demonstrated here, it's easy to just boot up and you can click something that some people might be used to a lot. Right, on a daily basis, basically anything you need to do on the machine, there is a FUSS alternative to it. Right, and you can use that on the Windows side, or if you're interested in Linux, you can use it on Linux as well. Right, applications from Office to games, anything, development tools, everything is there for you to use. Server side wise, for the net admins out there, you have a lot of tools that can emulate a Windows based environment. Richard mentioned Samba. Samba is an application that can emulate an entire Windows server environment, from authentication straight down to file sharing, printing. And any clients, including Windows clients, can connect to your Samba server and it will not know it's talking to a Linux machine. Alright? Simply because these things are implemented using what we call protocols. So once it can speak the language, there's no way it's going to tell us it's talking to someone different. So it's all development. Now, I do a lot of web development and I use the LAMP backend, right, which is Linux, Apache, MySQL, and PHP. Right, and that offers me a total environment that I could carry around with me on my laptop. I think my friend here is saying he wants to have it on his USB key. Well, that's fine. Right, it's very flexible. You can take this with you anywhere you go. Right, and have your tools at hand. Do you have any questions on using open source on a daily basis?
Using for PHP,
using for IDEs. Alright, that's a question this guy here asked me earlier today. So IDEs, an IDE is just an environment where you can type your code and you can execute your code from within the environment, right? Basically that's what you all understand of IDEs. But it's a little different under the PHP, because PHP is a web scripting language, so it will be executed by the web server. So you can develop your code using a text editor and upload that PHP code to the web server and run it from the browser. Right? There are tools, however, that could highlight the syntax for you. I can describe a suite of editors that will highlight the syntax and will help you going through any debugging processes. So you can find errors and provide you the line numbers as well. Right, so if you have a problem in your code and the PHP say error at line 100, you could go to line 100 quickly and see if there's a problem. Right, any questions? On the Windows side, you can use something like Notepad++ or Notepad++. And that has features in it to highlight, color code your syntax. Right, so it helps you out a lot if you're a coder.
So you don't have anything more sophisticated than that to recommend?
Sophisticated?
I mean, in terms of that's all good and fine, that's like using Notepad.
To be honest, I've never used Visual Studio.
Oh,
can't compare anything to this.
Right, that's what I was going to say.
But that is software developer right here. So that's the other question you will be happy to answer. Right? He uses something called Eclipse.
Okay.
Okay. Plus on a daily basis, in terms of the back end support, email. Right? There's something called SendMail, something else called PostFix. These are all MTAs or mail transfer agents. This is what is used by a lot of ISPs and the posting providers to send email anywhere in the world. Back in the game, you're looking at an application called Bind, which is your DNS server. Right, that allows you to type in linux.com and go straight to the web server that hosts linux.com. Right, it's actually a requirement that if you have a DNS server that's going to be a root DNS server, you need to be running Bind. They will not accept you if you're running a Windows machine. Right. The strengths of open source is in the fact that the code is open to anybody for observation and comment. Right. That's the reason why the Mac OS is, they have an open source branch. Right. Mac OS X is developed on PBSD, which is open source. Right. So it's not by chance that these guys are going to make a decision to use that product. It's not a, they may have battles with proprietary companies, but it's not all that spite. They say they're going to follow this model. Right. They do it for lots of concrete reasons. And the fact that they could offer a product that works, is stable, and their customers appreciate that. And most importantly, customers are willing to pay for it. And open source is not about giving software and I can't. You can develop your own business model around open source. If you want, you can become a training provider. A lot of people will pay for training in this. Right? Yeah. Why not people pay for MTSC training then? You can pay for training in open source, Red Hat certification, healthcare certification. All these things are there. And they exist now and they are becoming re-evolving as well.
Who does the training? You as a vice president,
training in open source? Training in what? You have your network administration. Right, you have office productivity. Those are the two training branches then. Right? Network certification analogous to MCSC, there is Red Hat certification, LPI certification. Currently PetroTrend does LPI. I don't know if they offer the certification, but they offer the training for it. Right, the LPI exam is not offered outside the US and India right now. Right, so if you want to write that certification, you need to go in. And annual. Sorry. US, the US Indian annual. Okay. But Red Hat certification, I think, is also similar. You need to go to a provider that provides that. Yes, dear, that facilitates the exam.
Well, what happened was last year, and one of us was trained over when we were used by LPI, and we had to administer LPI. So, we had to train them. Because LPI is an independent body, so they don't do much. They do it. They do it. Somebody else to get your training material. They just want to concentrate on the data and so
person behind the sign.
You're not supposed to have someone to see. Oh, okay. Alright. For this training, we can provide office training, but it's not something that's done on a regular basis. Like a school will offer training in Microsoft Office. I'm not aware of any, please somebody correct me if you can, right? I'm not aware of any school training provider that's from Calcians that open office training. But you can get individuals to provide, if your company is interested in using Open Office, but you want to make the transition, definitely you will find somebody here who could help you.
I think I told you, Ross Caribbean will be doing that, because I mean you mentioned it as a business membership. That's a futuristic kind of stuff. I mean, because to me, similarly, if you want to promote it, then you have to do some training to make it that way.
That's one of the...
Or if you want to do it, you could forget about it anyway. You see, I don't know
But if you're interested in getting training in office, open office, right, I'm not going to say no, you're not going to do it, but we can help you find somebody who can do open office training. Right? Even training in any aspect of PLUS, right, whether it's network administration, even software development up to a certain point. Right? One of our intentions is to bring in people who like from established companies like Apache, right? Let them come in and give thoughts on how developing open source has worked for them, right? How you can become involved in it, right? So you can also reap the benefits. Right? Remember, I could write software and give it to you, that doesn't mean I'm going to start. So you have ways of making money from it. Another example, web development. We have a lot of content management systems that are released under the PLUS banner, right? That you can take and install for a client. You modify the looks, how it looks. You modify the content and different components. So you can put banners. You can make it an e-commerce site. You can put it in forums. Right, it's, everything is there and it's really easy to add and remove as well. Right, and you charge your clients for that. You take the software, there's no restriction saying, well, if I charge my client $10,000 for their website, I have to give the content management people some money. No, there's no restriction because they give you the software to use it. So you use it, you charge the client money to do it. Right, install the content management system, configure it, and develop your website using that as a base. That's it. You can charge them to install software. programmers to be successful. What makes software open source is the terms of its release. So I can create software and I say, well, listen, I want to charge people to use it. So that's a proprietary. I charge people to use, I don't even give them the source code because I decide I want to do a proprietary model. I compile the program on my machine and I say, here, this is my program, you pay me $300 for it. Alright, whenever I have an update, well, you can buy the update or you can save what you have. Up to you. The open source way, I say, well, listen, I will write this program, I want to give it away for people to use. I give it away. I say, well, this is a, I use one of the open source licenses available to me, whether it's GPL, Apache, DSD, MIT, whatever. Right, you have a lot of them. So, and I release it under that license and I give people the program. Let them, they can now download it and install it.
Let's try to understand. You could make money for open source by charging a company to tell them, listen, I will install open source and run this for you.
Alright. Let me show you how you can on top of how you make money with it.
Well,
as a programmer. As a programmer. You have different ways you can do it now. If you write a small program and you want to release it as open source, well, okay. You can charge people, say, well, this is my program. If they get in problems, I will pay me for support. That's one way. Support in terms of they can email you or telephone you, and you say, well, alright, I'm going to spend half an hour solving your problem. You pay me for half an hour of my time in terms of support getting your phone line. That's one. Okay? MySQL, they have a similar business model. They release their program as open source, they give it up. But they don't give the support. None of these open source programs come with support from the developer. What MySQL will do is they say the same thing, we can have a team come in and install it for you on your machine. Right? Now, MySQL is a database platform and it's a very, being by nature, it's very complex. So now they say, well, here is the manual. Right? The manual, we give the manual free. But the manual is that thing. But you take it. Another way that they will make money is by offering training. I mean, whoever knows the program better than the MySQL developers, right? So they train. So that they make money from that as well. They make money because it became so popular, they are able to offer MySQL conferences. Conferences is totally focused on database development using MySQL. PHP does that as well. They have PHPCon. Right? They have PHP conference all over the world actually. Right? Yeah.
What's the process for changing or improving? I use the word improving loosely. For example, plus I am a programmer and I see a way to improve in my eye. Is there a process where people look at your software and say, well, okay, that's where you have improvement or whatever? Is there a process where I was submitted to an organization on the web?
Well, it sort of depends. If you take my application and you improve on it, right, well, you can resubmit your change to me.
Okay.
Right? Now, because even if it's open source, doesn't mean it's yours.
Yeah.
Right? I still retain the rights to it.
Yeah, but I'm talking about.
Yeah?
Or other users know.
No, you can download the code and okay. Make the change and use it.
Okay.
But if you want to contribute back to the project, you could give me a change and say, your name is Mr. X, here's my change, right? And I will, if I think it is worth it, right, I will incorporate it as CLC and I make a comment by the code saying, contributed by Mr. X, right? That's the way the community involvement operates.
Yeah, because I can see people being malicious.
Exactly, and I now take the code, I recompile it, and I offer it. for no good. Right? And that would be an official release because it came from the original developer. Okay? But if you want, you could take it and modify it yourself and use it. You don't need to recontribute it. Right? But if it distributes in that, right, you may have some legal issues here because then you might claim it as your own. Right? So you still need to be aware that intellectual property rights still comes into play, whether it's open source or not. So in other words, nobody, you give away a code, but nobody gonna steal your thunder. Everything still remains up to you.
Quick question, as you said something,
yeah.
Is it on your side, you know, anywhere that has a quick breakdown of the different types of licenses? Because like what you just said, like, in this case,
that's something you're going to put up on your site, definitely.
Right, yeah, because
right,
you're going to
put a link to
like,
different types of licenses.
Some might say you can do this, some might say you can't do that, you know?
Yeah. So, now, you do have restrictions. You do have restrictions
based on it. So, what
if
you want to get something, what do you go for?
Anil could probably give you a brief rundown later on the different types of licenses and what you can and cannot do. Right? Some say, well, you can take the code on the way you want it. You didn't need to tell people I do it. Right? And so they're very loose like that. Some say, if you use my code in your program, you have to use the program as open source. Right? So
if
the licenses will vary.
So when you want something, what's the repercussion? What if the person doesn't know? You write a software, you say, hey, listen, if you use my software, you must
software. I use EPG. And I use Adobe Acrobat. Because some documents I have will not open anything else. Right. But that's only three proprietary software you're gonna find on that machine. Everything else is open source software. Okay, so ready? I can now pass you on to Anil and he will demonstrate the Burkeat content within content management system. Which, if any of you are teachers or you know teachers, they will be very interested in this.
okay.